You're listening to Engage with Andy Bush. To connect with the program today, please send an email to andrew.bush@comcast.net. That's andrew.bush@comcast.net. Now, back to this week's program.
Welcome back to Engage. I'm your host, Andy Bush. You can find me at andrewbush.com. That's Bush like the beer, not the president. Andrewbush.com. Hey, energy show. Man, I think I'm just going to keep doing these things because every time I have these three particular guests on, I learn a ton about the energy industry and what can potentially happen going forward for investors. Just to review this stuff really quickly, let's talk about John Kemp. Fantastic guy. You can get his you can get a hold of John at jkempenergy on Twitter. You know, I just can't say enough about his research, which is phenomenal. But what I think what's fascinating and what he pointed out on the interview today is that oil production is not going to stop, right? It's not going to decrease as rapidly as most people think. It will decrease eventually. That's what Steve Landry was saying. But the outlook is for it to continue at the same level for 2014 into 2015. And that means the price of oil in the first half of this year is going to continue to be under duress and pressure because it's not stopping. The supply is not stopping. Not only is it not stopping in the United States, but it's clearly not going to stop from Saudi Arabia as well, or Saudi Arabia. And even with the new king that's in play there, I thought what John had to say too, which was really interesting, was his discussion about how that the oil minister in Saudi Arabia really is the guy who's the man in charge running the policy, not necessarily the king. And he's the same guy that's been there for the last 25 years. Ali Nimi, I think, is his name. So, or 20 years. So I don't think we're going to see a big shift just yet, but they're very happy with the drop in the current price of oil. So what John was saying, though, is that just since over the last, 6 months, I think he said, we've seen the rig count drop from 1,600 down to 1,300, drop of 18%. Despite that, U.S. Energy Department still, you know, predicting that production is going to hold steady, you know, maybe a slight increase, but then start to tail off towards the end of into May and then pick back up towards the latter half of this year. They're predicting, the U.S. Energy Department is predicting, that oil prices go down and then start to rally up to 67 by the end of the year, which I find somewhat interesting to say the least. The other great point that John had was that he said shale production is more like mineral production in that once you stop production, the supply of that mineral that you get out of the ground, and in this case oil and shale, and it really goes a lot faster than what one would think. So keep that in mind. So this is a very different dynamic. It's something that Steve Landry pointed out later, and we'll get to him in a minute. But that's what I think is fascinating about Kemp. John always puts out such great research and great ideas. Now, switching over to Jim Lucier, boy, did I get a tutorial on what's happening in the Senate and overall with Congress. Now, taking a step back, before I get into this is something that I just want everybody to understand, that we have not been in a normally functioning Congress or presidency for some time because of what Harry Reid did in the Senate and his nuclear option, where he basically blocked all legislation from moving through to protect his members from taking, or, and protect really the president from actually having to veto difficult legislation that would have made him look bad going into the election in 2012. The problem with that is, as Jim pointed out, was that it didn't allow his members to also vote positively for things that, you know, really resonate back home in the district or in the state. And so now that Mitch McConnell has taken over in the Senate, he's reestablished regular order, which means that everybody can, in the Senate, everybody who's a senator, can put on amendments to bills. Now, it makes the process a little messy, but what is fascinating about it is that it will allow the senators to get back to normal order in being able to see and gauge what the interest is in their particular amendment that they put in there. Just one amendment as an example would be LNG, you know, faster LNG exports. You put that amendment in, you see by taking the pulse of the Senate, by making people actually vote on it, whether or not they would go through with it, you can start to see other people that you can have a coalition with or like-minded on that issue. And therefore, you can build that and then get some momentum for that issue moving forward so that actually you can pass it at some point. That has been sadly absent from so much of the Senate over the last 4 years. And that's what's, you know, really interesting to me. It may look messy, but that's what democracy or representative government is like. And so that's what I find fascinating about what's happening in the Senate. And truly, the Senate is more about what the founders had in mind, moving away from parliamentary government towards this Republican or representative government that they had envisioned. So keep that in mind. That's, you know, I know that's a little inside D.C. politics, but the dam is breaking, and this is what's so good about it. Now, having said that, he also said that there are some problems because of the president's threatened veto on so many aspects of legislation out there, but in particular the Keystone Pipeline. Jim was kind enough to say that he thought it would pass, but he's also questioning that because of the president's veto declaration. And, of course, that means it's not 60 votes that you need to get to. It's 67 votes that you need to get to pass that, to override a presidential veto. So that also darkens the clouds for additional legislation, of course, tax reform being one of them and one of the key things that I'm looking for moving forward. And that's really disappointing because I prefer to see tax reform move forward than almost anything else, especially even Keystone. So I hope Jim is not super correct, but I have a feeling he's going to be correct in that there's so many areas like Obamacare, Dodd-Frank, Keystone, so many other areas that the president is threatening this veto that a lot of the really important legislation may not come to the fore and get voted on. But we know with Keystone it's moving forward. I think they had at least 58 votes secured to stop and cut off debate. They need a couple more to get it done, so we'll see what happens after they get through the amendment process. So really great conversation with Mr. Lucier. And finally, to Stephen Landry from E&Y. Obviously, Steve is in the trenches. He's in the nuts and bolts of the tax side of things. So that means he gets to see the guts of these companies and what's out there and how they're operating with their leverage ratios. He made some great points out there. First of all, he thinks this is a wonderful opportunity, even though companies are reducing their capital expenditures. This is a wonderful opportunity for them to increase their reserves and obviously increase their reserve ratio, a replacement ratio. Companies with strong balance sheets that are not highly levered, only levered 2-to-1 with debt to equity, you know, and cash on the balance sheets, these guys are going to be sitting back and waiting for the higher levered companies, you know, the guys that are 2.5-4% debt to equity, to start having issues and cash flow issues, especially with the high-yield debt that they may have on their books. So these guys are waiting in the wings, looking for the opportunity to step in and buy these reserves from these companies or buy these companies overall. He also made mention of some of the hedges for even the highly levered companies that had hedged. He believes that a lot of these are going to roll off somewhere in the third quarter. So if we're talking about production staying pretty high first and second quarter, and then as we get into the third quarter, starting to see things stop, and then also these hedges roll off, that's probably when you're going to see these companies start to come under some duress. So my guess is for M&A activity or just buyout of reserves, that's probably going to – the negotiations will start somewhere in the second quarter and probably start to come out maybe in the fourth quarter or maybe even more aggressively, you know, sooner. But the peak of that, I think the most critical phase of it, my guess would be in the third quarter. And finally, we talked about the Gulf of Mexico and what they're doing right down there, or Mexico, I should say. The properties that the Mexican government are making available in their first round are properties in the Gulf of Mexico next to existing properties. So the infrastructure is there already. Steve was talking about in the future is perhaps where they start to get to the unconventional stuff like the Eagle Ford Shale, which a big portion of that is in Mexico. They don't quite have the infrastructure ready to go, so that will be a wonderful build-out opportunity for companies to get involved there. And I just want to mention offline, which we didn't get to, and I'm really sorry about this, he was talking about tax reform, which, of course, is my big favorite. But he was saying, you know, one of the things that may happen is the loss of the specific oil and gas capital expenditures tax provisions that help oil companies. And one of the things that Steve was saying was that he thinks that actually may be a good thing overall for companies if you can get faster depreciation built into the tax code and help all companies and not just make it a standalone for oil and gas companies. And I think he's right on the money with that. So what may look like a bad thing overall may actually turn out to be something really positive for everyone involved with it. And I know and I feel really positive about this week's show because it was just too much fun. I think the part that I got really excited about was learning about what was happening in the Senate and how that's changing over for a positive situation, although it may not look that way in the future. All right. That's it for me, Andy Bush. Next week, we will have a wonderful show as well, focusing on politics. Keep an eye out for me on Fox Business. I'm going to be doing a hit there with Maria Bartiromo next week on Wednesday. And then I'm off to the World Money Show in Orlando, Florida, and I'm emceeing down there. So if you're going, say hello. It'll be a gas. Look forward to seeing you. Otherwise, tune in next week. I'm Andy Bush. This is Engage. Have a great weekend.
Thank you for tuning in this week to Engage with Andy Bush. We'll be back again next Friday at 9 a.m. in the West, 12 noon in the East on the Voice America Business Channel. We'll have more insights and discussions then.